Betsy and Thomas here for the American Intelligence Media. You're not going to find this audio on YouTube because this is exactly where YouTube wants us to put it so that they can strike us down. The censorship is raging on the internet. I haven't seen any signs that Donald Trump has done anything to right this ship. So, Thomas, here we go again. False flags, take your guns. What's up with the two false flags we're just seeing?
Well, by take your guns, you mean use our perception management tools to be able to analyze the situation to demonstrate that no matter how hard you look, you will not find one speck of evidence either for the the shooting in Texas and for the shooting in Ohio, we'll call it. And I want you to really go ahead, because I wasted all this time. People oftentimes ask us, will you please tell us, is this a false flag? And for instance, the attacks of the oil tankers in the Straits of Hormuz, and also, you know, the three other places they were attacked, that was a false flag, and we told you why. And then people get all concerned, and they say, oh, no, 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 these false flags are so good, they're going to take away guns. They're not going to take away our guns. And first off, anybody who really looks at these, I mean, I only had to look at it for 1 second. 1 second, 1 second, one picture, and I knew it was fake. Let me just tell you. First off, the picture of him walking into Walmart has now been all fuzzed out, and they don't show his pockets. The reason they don't show his pockets is they say he shot and killed 20 people and wounded 26 more or others. That's 46 shots minimum, or to actually do that, you'd probably need twice that many. Well, he only had one magazine, and it holds 30 shots. 40 at most, and it wasn't an extended. Take a look at it. It's 30. So he had 30 shots, okay? Look at the picture of him entering Walmart. He has no magazines in his pocket. He's wearing just simple pants, and he's in a simple black T-shirt. Now, let's look at some of the other details of that one first, and then we'll get into the bigger picture. But there, the only witnesses I saw that were actually interviewed, some of them spontaneously on someone's cell phone. And remember, they tell you, when the police show up for these, you can hear them saying, do not take pictures, do not use your cell phone. Okay? As a matter of fact, at the Garlic Festival shooting, one person taking pictures of the only person with blood on them that was seen by anybody, there were people there who started yelling at them that that was the most horrible thing they could possibly do. Now, you know as well as I that if you were there and this was happening, if you were not involved in it and you were back a ways, you would probably take a video of it, wouldn't you? There would be thousands of videos, but there's not. There's always a controlled amount. So let's look at the control. Let's look at, first off, this young man who they say walked into a Walmart and shot up at least 46 people, killing 20 of them. Now, then supposedly he ran out of bullets and the police simply apprehended him peacefully in the Walmart. This is what they report. This is untrue because someone on a bus near the Walmart saw the police pull over a car and apprehend the very young man in the same black T-shirt. It's the same person, 100%, absolutely. He was apprehended from a car, taken out of a car, and they walk him down the street, I guess, to a police car, though there was a police car right there. Who knows why they were walking him anywhere? Why would they apprehend him so far away? Why would they lie and say that he simply ran out of bullets? And at first they said he shot himself, then they said he was shot, and then they said, no, he was just standing there and was peacefully apprehended in the Walmart. But then we have pictures, video, spontaneous videos, which they couldn't control because the person was in a vehicle passing by, and they had to stop, and so they started videotaping what the police were doing because the bus that they were in was stopped. So it's a real video, and the people in the back are speaking. You hear everybody. It's quite real. The other videos, oh, no, no, we'll talk about them in a second. But this young man supposedly wrote all this negative stuff about he was going to El Paso to shoot Mexicans. So therefore, the FBI has declared this is a domestic terrorism case and the FBI is in charge of it.
You mean the FBI, that criminal organization that continues to protect the swamp?
Correct.
They're involved with this shooting down there?
Yes, and it seems like we're finding that this young man was arrested previously. That's the reason he had to go out of state to get this AK-47 single shot 223 caliber. Well, hello, any kind of weapon for hunting is that or bigger. And so, you know, this whole thing of these rifles are so horrible. It's the magazine capacity. He had the magazine capacity of 30, but supposedly he magically shot just an incredible amount of bullets. Now, let's look at his manifesto. His manifesto was written, and he drove all the way to the border, El Paso. Take a look at this young man. This young man is so doped up. He's so doped up that he wore ear defenders, headsets, to go in to shoot these people.
Well, you know, and always, instead of taking our guns away, why aren't they looking at Big Pharma and the rampant use of opioids and things like that that are creating such a destabilized person to do these things?
If it's as usual, he's been picked up and arrested before, came to the attention of the FBI. The FBI made him an asset. The FBI brainwashed him and set him up as a sleeper cell. And by one telephone call, he then was activated, wrote all the stuff, which they always do. Isn't that interesting? They always write it right before, you know, all the evidence. And this young man was supposed to kill himself. But here's the problem. When they brainwash people like that, they sometimes can't get them to kill themselves at the end, which is what they usually do. This happened for the Uber driver who said he had been brainwashed by his telephone and that every time the telephone rang, he simply picked up a weapon, shot people, and then went right back.
That was the one in Michigan a little over a year ago.
So this is the standard brainwashing. We see this. And it's usually with people who've been picked up by the police, had a long police record, came into contact with the FBI, and they were set up by the FBI. Now notice, these are two white people in the two shootings in Texas and in Ohio, the one that just happened in Ohio. It's always now, first thing, white
supremacist.
With a what?
With an AK-15. What is it?
An AK-47 or an assault rifle. Always. It's an assault. It's a long rifle. Now, the police
long gun.
Police came on without their hat on, which usually means that they're in distress or they're not on duty, and said point blank, the person in charge, supposedly, though he admitted later the FBI was in charge from the moment that it happened, and that he really wasn't, and he really didn't see the evidence, he didn't see the dead people, and he didn't even see the weapon. The person in charge of the El Paso shooting said he has not seen the weapon. He has not seen any evidence. He did not go look at the scene of the crime. He has not seen any people who were shot. And he has only been informed. And he literally said, I have been informed. That's all he said.
The FBI is in charge. The same FBI that in Las Vegas never found the shooter up there, right? See, the FBI in San Bernardino never find the reason and the cause and report it to the American people and make sure that the patsies are always shot in the end.
Now, it's always pathetic to have to go through this step by step to show you how bad it is. But I just pointed out that they say they apprehended him in Walmart, but we have pictures of him being apprehended blocks away. Okay? They say that he shot all those people. He didn't have enough bullets. He didn't have two magazines. Okay? And then we have the eyewitnesses. Now, this is what I always love, is the paid actors who usually go from one crisis scene to the next. And the one recently, the Garlic Festival, the lady who was the only person speaking for the hospital, for all the hospitals, they had one speaker. She was not even a staff member at the hospital. And minutes before, she had had a veil on, and she was filmed saying that she was a parent looking for her child, and she'd gone to all the hospitals and couldn't find them. And that was the first fake film they sent out from the Garlic Festival. Why? Because that was telling people, if you go to look for people who are missing, you won't find them. I went to look for my daughter. Supposedly she was shot, this woman says, but I can't find her. And the woman's not crying. She's not upset. Nothing. Okay. And then later, same exact woman comes on as the representative for the hospitals and gives you bogus, just read some numbers. 27, they're treated here. They're here, 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 here. She's standing in a deserted part of a parking lot far away from the emergency room. And though the El Paso shooting just happened, There is nobody moving. No people, no ambulances moving, no other staff, nothing. Well, the same thing happened with the El Paso shooting. They have a guy.
Were you talking about the garlic shooting?
Yeah, the garlic shooting is what I'm talking about.
El Paso, okay.
Now, the El Paso shooting
El Paso.
Has a guy come out who obviously is not a doctor, doesn't know what he's doing. He's not reading from a piece of paper. He's memorized it. And look at his eyes. He's shifting left and right as fast as he can, trying to remember the numbers. And then he gets the numbers all confused. Same thing as the lady in the garlic shooting, got the numbers all confused. He gets the numbers all confused and then says, you know, don't go in the hospital. Don't check this. Don't talk to the people. Don't do anything. Just believe what I'm telling you. And did I say 16? No, I meant 27. Did I say 27? I meant 17. Oh, and then he gives you vague things. People from age such and such to age such and such and critical and released. Most of them have already been released. Okay, you don't get hit by a .223 caliber bullet, which is spinning, which rips your body apart. And this is the part that really upsets me. I have seen people killed with these weapons, with these bullets. No matter who you are, you will vomit, pee your pants, and poop your pants. No matter who you are. No matter what. If you see one, let me get back from the microphone. You cannot see a person shot by an assault rifle that is not going to make you vomit. You will certainly cry and you will go into trauma, let alone if you saw 20 of them in one spot, which is what we're told happened in Dayton last night. At 1 a.m. in the morning. Now, we'll go
there
in a minute.
There was proof. There were many tennis shoes in the middle of the road.
Oh, I'm going to probably have to scoot way back from the microphone. But let's just look at the El Paso. They have, and I spent all day looking at it, every single clip, every single picture. Guess what? None of them even have a stamp on them. So the Dayton pictures, what did they do? Because we complain about this all the time. They're all Associated Press. Every one of them has a claim on it. In all other false flags, go ahead, look, find me a picture that claims who took the picture.
Well, something else I'd like to point out to people is that anytime you see one of these false flag events, go immediately to the dailymail.co.uk. This is a publication that's run out of Britain, and they will have pictures. They will have pictures of the people, the assailant's mother, the child when he was a child. They will have pictures of everything. And I'd always go, wow, how do they get those pictures and those stories so fast? Until, of course, we figured it out, that they're just a British Tavistock propaganda arm of this whole, you know, New World Order operation they're trying to roll out on us. And so what they do is they pick up the narrative early because they know what they're pushing out. They know the propaganda they're pushing out. And then they put it there for other folks, you know, the other reporters to come in and say, oh, this is the angle we're taking. And so then they follow that narrative through their articles. So if you want to see if something's a false flag, go to dailymail.com. There it is.
And no U.S. culpability.
Yes.
No culpability at all. And they already have the narrative before the FBI have it. I just watched the current live broadcast of the FBI stating what's going on in El Paso, and Daily Mail already knew all that, a lot more than the police and the FBI know.
Well, maybe,
isn't that amazing?
Maybe Robert Hannigan works at the Daily Mail now, and he just let his friends over there at the FBI know what was going down.
Well, what it shows is these are not American generated false flags. Obviously, they're British. They would have to be. How do the Brits already know more about the killer than the FBI knows
at
this moment?
The British crown has got to be a little wigged out right now because we are so close to the narrative of truth showing that they are behind the overthrow of Donald Trump.
Now, let's look at El Paso again. They have an interview of a news person who's talking to one of the fake actors, what do they call crisis actors. This person supposedly says, in Spanish, to make sure that it's obfuscated and that someone's translating, that she's standing next to the shooter in Walmart, and he just starts shooting. That's a lie. The reports are he started shooting in the parking lot and then walked in shooting. So her standing next to him in a certain section of the store that she describes, and he just lifts up his gun and starts shooting. And then she turns to her daughter and says, I think those are bullets. So as she's watching 46 people massacred in front of her, each one of those bullets ripping through a person, if it was a .223 caliber bullet, which it was, is what now they tell you the caliber now. They don't even say what kind of rifle it was. It could have been a... I love it that in certain one that I can't say the name, they say it was an assault rifle, and it was, he had to cock each time. It wasn't an assault rifle. It's unbelievable. And now, and there was no blood in that circumstance either on the inside of the building, and no blood where the supposedly he killed himself on the carpet.
Well, where were the ambulances through all this?
We'll get to that in a second. So let's talk about El Paso. So the woman who literally is standing next to him, okay, she's standing in Walmart, supposedly, and a man with an assault rifle comes up and stands next to her, and she does nothing. And then he starts shooting. And then she turns to her daughters and says, I think those are bullets. I think we should go. And so, though she was standing next to him, her or her two daughters did not get shot, though they simply exited at that point, according to her. And then they ask over and over again, how many people were there? And at first she says, there are four people all dressed in black, wearing, like, and she tries to describe, you know, like armor gear, right? And then she says there's two. And then she says there's one. And then she says she's standing next to the one. And then at the end of it, she says that there's more than one. There could be, there's two or more. Okay? So this is the story of the only eyewitness. Then you got other eyewitnesses who say that they talked to somebody who said they saw somebody who had been shot in the head. And then you have the people coming out of not even Walmart. This is what I love. They're coming out of the mall. Now, this is what's really amazing. The police say there's shooters both in Walmart and in the mall. Well, the mall is across a big, gigantic parking lot. And in a minute, you're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. But anyway, so they say that the people in the mall also saw shooters. And they have one supposed film, and I love this. It's a film of a person supposedly underneath something. And by you can tell by what it's underneath, it's certainly not in a Walmart, under no circumstances. It's in a mall. And this person is filming it, and you can hear that he's dived under this, supposedly, to protect himself. But somebody else is kind of in back of him taking the picture. And then he's talking... And he says, before any shots go off, there's a shooter. And then you hear, oh, maybe 10 shots, which are not bullets. At best, those are blanks. And that's the reason everybody said, oh, I thought it was someone beating at a dumpster. I thought it was a box falling. I thought it was anything but a bullet. Trust me, if you got a .223 go off in a very echoey mall in any kind of building, it's going to hurt your ears. You will know it is a gun. You will know it is a rifle, and you will assume somebody's dead. Trust me, that you will feel that even if you're outside anywhere near it, let alone if you're in an enclosed space. So this person dives underneath some nice chairs and this stuff, which is not in Walmart. It's in a mall, and then takes a picture of, he's so scared, and then you hear the shots. The only time anybody heard any shots, okay? The only time anybody filmed or recorded any shots was this fake one. And guess what? That was in the mall. That was not in Walmart.
Well, what we're really learning here is that the left can't write dossiers, and they really suck at false flags.
They suck so bad. And so when you have all the people exiting, they're exiting the mall. That's the reason they call it the mall shooting. It's not a mall shooting. It was in Walmart. The shooter never went in the mall. They never went in the mall, okay? So they have to obfuscate. And so this is one of the lessons you learn in perception management. Make sure there are multiple stories. Make sure there's ambiguous stories. Make sure that you have eyewitnesses that give ambiguous stories. Make sure you set up a parameter that no one can enter. Only people exit so that no one can actually see what's going on. In El Paso, they never even set up a perimeter. Unbelievable. Why? Because they needed to confuse people to think the shooting happened in the mall. And remember, the police said that there were multiple shooters. At one point, the police chief said there were four shooters identified, okay, in all black. The shooter was not in all black. He shot 30 shots and dropped his gun. and then went out, got in his car, and drove away. And there was nobody. It's just like the Christchurch shooting. Go back. If you have a copy of the Christchurch shooting, there's no blood anywhere.
You said Christchurch shooting, right?
What did I say? In New Zealand.
New Zealand, yes. I just want to make sure because it was so fast that that's what you said.
You know, the synagogue shooting, yes. Where the man goes, yes. He shoots someone at the front door, yes. But by the time he walks out, the man has got up and turned his body around.
And that's why we can't post anything on YouTube, and y'all got to be real careful in putting it on Reddit, and that's why it's on a page that we've created just for these times, and we want to get a report out to you, but you're just going to have to come right to this site, and we suggest that you subscribe while you're here. Now, let's move on.
Blanks are very clearly blanks. The shooting that I heard on the phone, those were blanks. They were in the mall. So that confused people. Now, there were many people in the mall who didn't hear that. And so when the police came in full gear and told them to run out, to get out, raise their hands and get out, they were moving them into a parking lot where there could have been three other shooters. Not possible. They would have sheltered in place. That was for show. And then the other fake video is of a woman in the mall who heard the shots, and her and her mom are running. Okay? They're definitely in the mall. You can see it is not a Walmart. And then you can also see the police in the mall come in, and everybody's completely calm in Dillard's. And the police get them all upset and try to get them upset. Won't tell them there's an active shooter, which they should have told them. But tell them they have to evacuate now. This is an emergency. And then try to get them upset.
Now, do El Paso police always run false flags on their citizenry?
Everyone runs active shooter drills, so much so that everybody knows what the term active shooter means.
But certainly there are honest policemen there on the scene that knew that this was a false flag.
No, not necessarily.
Explain
Absolutely
why.
Not. They go into the mall. They hear there were shootings there. There's confusion. There's ambiguous stories. Their chief of police telling them there's four shooters. No one in the El Paso response team acted as if there was anybody else shooting.
Why? Because the FBI came in and said, we're in charge?
The FBI came in military armored vehicles, so prepared that it would have taken them an hour to get prepared, but they were there within 6 minutes.
Right there.
6 minutes. Right there. Oh, that's right. In Dayton, they were there within 1 minute.
Oh, yes.
1 minute. That's right. Oh, yeah. 1 minute. And in the Garrick shooting, they were there within 1 minute.
So folks just don't get
it. Now, mind you, they opened fire on a guy shooting at a people in a crowd. Stop. Stop right there. Both in El Paso, in Dayton and in the Garrick Festival in California, we are to believe that they opened fire on a person who was firing into a crowd of people. How did they know they weren't going to shoot the people? That isn't what happens, folks. That is not what happens. That's why when I heard that the police actually shot the person in Dayton, I thought, that is a lie. It's a lie. Guaranteed lie. The police do not charge in and shoot people. And they do not release information that shouldn't be released. And so when they're investigating something, and now El Paso is investigating the alleged shooting, they have no proof that young man that they've arrested is the person. It's all alleged. He's confessing, so what? Doesn't mean a thing. Confessions are not proof. So where's the proof? Okay, so they say that he went across the border and bought that AK-47 style .223 caliber rifle and came back. But he was known by the police, been picked up by the police repeatedly, probably came to the attention of the FBI, and he goes across state lines to get the weapon. Yeah, that's not believable. There was no perimeter set up in El Paso with the supposed people who were shot, 20 dead, 26 shot, not one single picture of blood. Not one. He supposedly started shooting in the outside of the building and killed people. No blood there. No blood on the inside. Nobody saw any blood. And there's only one person who says that they talked to somebody who saw somebody shot. Even the lady standing next to the shooter didn't say she saw somebody get shot. She said, he's shooting. I think those are bullets, girls. We should leave. That isn't what happens. They would start freaking out. Their knees would give out. The second they saw a person shot, they would start vomiting. And or you do what if you're strong, you do, you either hide or run. Okay. So, the story doesn't, in El Paso, no, nothing makes, works out. Plus, what he printed before he came to the shooting is not what he normally writes. It's actually coherent, and it is a statement that he wants to kill Mexicans because they're invading our country. So therefore, the FBI has declared this a domestic terrorism case, which means all evidence goes to the FBI. No one will ever see anything. Now, when did radio and television stop getting in the face of people who got shot? If it bleeds, it leads. They want pictures of blood. Was there any blood in El Paso? Not one speck. Now let's go to Dayton. Was there any blood in Dayton? Not one speck. They even put white sheets. Okay, well, who had white sheets? Who had white sheets on them? Okay? And there was only, and this is what's great. He never, the shooter, never made it inside of the bar because the bouncer who was there said a man grabbed his gun as he was entering the bar and took it from him. And then the police shot him. Does that sound logical? No, especially when you see that inside of that bar are supposedly is one picture of three people lying on the ground with a white sheet over them and somebody standing there. It looks like a janitor who has a trash bag in his hand with his head bent over as if he's sad. No blood anywhere. White sheets, you'd see the blood. No blood. And if you get one of those bullets through you, you bleed so profusely. Plus, let me just tell you something very simple. They do not pronounce people dead at the scene. Period. Never happens. Not even in mass shootings. No matter if you think that person is dead, you put him in an ambulance and you rush into the hospital and you see if you can revive them. You do not put a white sheet over them. That is stupid. And in every mass shooting that you see, that is what they tell you. We're going to leave the bodies in there overnight because the coroner's not here yet. And the guys in the ambulances haven't been allowed past the perimeter, the yellow police line. Notice, the guys in the ambulance are never allowed in. The guys in the fire engines are never allowed into the scene of the crime. So nobody gets to see the bodies. And then inside of Ned's, you get to see three fake bodies. And then, this is beautiful, outside of Ned's, there's a whole pile of tennis shoes. I mean, a whole pile of tennis shoes. It would be the tennis shoes of all 27, supposedly, people who were shot.
They all lost their shoes.
Well, they all take their shoes off and put them there. Why the heck would anyone? Now, mind you, that's in the exact same spot that the Daily Beast, Daily Mail has a picture of the crime scene outside of the bar. And it shows yellow cones, which is what they do, with numbers on them of where people were shot, even if they're not dead, where they were shot. And especially before they move the body, they have to take pictures. They quadrant it off. They take the bodies. They try to revive them. But what do? They put markers there. They show where the body was, even the very position the body was in, so that they can see if there was a second shooter from a rooftop or a third shooter or a fourth shooter. They have to look at all the evidence. So the Daily Mail had a picture at night, which is unbelievable because that means it would have been done the night before, literally. The night before, they had to have set up those cones, taken the picture, and there's not a drop of blood anywhere on the pavement. Literally, 29 people dead, 27 people shot. He never went in the bar, three dead people in the bar, but there's supposedly 20 people on the outside. And what do you got? You got a picture of cones where they were, no bodies. Later, you get another picture from the same people, from a different, by the way, that picture of the cones was from EPA, took credit for it. Whoever EPA is, I've never seen that as a credit. They took credit for that fake shot, okay? All the rest are Associated Press. So the Associated Press show the same exact places and the pavement, and what's there? A pile of shoes, okay? So then where are the bodies? Where are the ambulances that had to get near enough to to load up. Show me one. So what did
they
do? They staged two shots.
In the Orlando shooting, remember how they walked the victims down the street to where the ambulances were? I mean, it was so ridiculous. But when you, one of the things that struck me, and folks, when you read this, you try to say, what really is the agenda here beyond the gun grab? I thought it was interesting that in El Paso, they were already having a big blood drive. And so since everything was set up, they were calling people in to donate blood for all the victims. And the blood clinics were filled with people. You saw pictures of folks in the clinics. And I looked at that and I go, wow, I know this sounds really way out there, but is this an attempt for the elite who are running a little short supply of blood, trying to get a new blood supply? I've always wondered why. The Red Cross is always asking for so much blood. Do we really need that much blood in the average care of people in hospitals these days?
It's absurd. They collected so much blood, they don't know what to do with it. They say they're going to just, you know, have it in banks and it'll be stock will be greater. I don't believe it for 1 second.
I think there's some more nefarious things going on with this blood, but I just want to point that out. Now, continue on.
Now, mind you, we didn't see any blood. Now, we did see, admittedly, during the Garlic Festival, one person in the back of a pickup truck that was not being tended. Someone was sitting there doing nothing with the person. They had fake blood.
That was at the Garlic Festival.
Mm-hmm. They had fake bandages, and they're in the back of a truck, and a guy is sitting there, and they're doing nothing for this person. The police are doing nothing. By the way, none of them had their hats on, not a one, which usually means it's an exercise. You see, that if you're in the military, you know that. It's fake if their hats are off, okay? I've seen one hat on so far in any false flag, and it was today. I guess they got wind of that also. I've also pointed out that they don't allow helicopters. Oh, no. They show helicopters from the ground flying all over El Paso and everything, right? Not one single shot from a news agency from a helicopter. Why? It will show that the police were parked all incorrectly, so that the ambulances were parked out. So you have all these cars who come and they clog everything up, and then they set up the perimeter, and then the ambulances and the fire engines and the EMS for the fire can't even get near anybody. You don't see a stretcher going in, a stretcher going out. So what did they do? Ah, very good. They decided to go ahead and give us some stretcher pictures. And on one of the stretcher pictures, they literally say that it's a dead body that's on the stretcher.
Well, they have to tell you what it is.
They're removing the dead bodies. Yes. And then you look at what they put the dead body in. That is not a body bag. And then they say, and then one of them, the body would have to be about 3 inches tall. So they show one picture, actually two pictures, of them supposedly with a stretcher with removing dead bodies. Lie. Those weren't dead bodies. They weren't even loading them in anything. And there was not even a vehicle nearby that they could have put a stretcher in.
Okay.
It was staged.
What's the takeaway for average citizens?
Well, I'm not done here. And if they look, they'll see. And then they never have to hear this from me again.
Oh, no. We'll ask you again.
Oh, well, okay. Let's take a look at the false flag that the British created. The tankers that were attacked with either rail guns or lasers. Neither do the Iranians have, but the Brits do. We now know that was a false flag set up by the British. The three tankers that were attacked in the United Arab Emirates, in Dubai, and somewhere in Saudi Arabia. And then it was a British tanker. Why? So that we could say four nations were attacked by Iran. And how are we going to prove it? We're going to show a drone picture, a drone film of the Iranian Republican Guard coming up in one of their little speedboats up to one of the tankers after it had been attacked. And they're looking at the hole. And the picture says they're retrieving their mine, like a landmine, but they put it on the ship and then it blows up. Well, when did they put it there to begin with? And they weren't retrieving it. There was a hole in it. They were looking at the hole to see what in the world caused this and why it was above waterline so there's no oil spillage and why it was fake. It was completely fake. Now we know for a fact that the British faked that whole situation with the Iranians supposedly trying to steal a tanker, and then they brought their warship in between the Iranian guard and the Iranian guard Revolutionary Guard
was
went away.
Was that to draw us into some kind of war?
Oh, that was to show that the British are powerful. And what were they trying to do? Well, they were trying to draw us into a war with Iran and to make us bad so that they can continue to be on Iran's side because they broke the sanctions with Iran, $400 million they're giving to Iran for the yearly through the European Union to keep propping them up during the sanctions. And it was just like the gas attacks in Syria that were reported by two British-sponsored intelligence groups, the White Helmets and the group that sponsors them. British, 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 British. So when you see the Daily Mail telling you what's happening in El Paso, it's a lie. When you see the Daily Mail telling you more information on what happened in Dayton than I can find here in any news agency anywhere, I've been searching all over, you send me the Daily Mail, they have pictures. But I want to point out, no one is crying. No one is in trauma. No one saw anybody shot. No one heard any real bullets go off. And no one witnessed a mass shooting. Not a one of them. If they did, you would know. They would not be able to speak. The lady who said that she was standing next to the shooter in Walmart, at the end of all the lies she told, tries to wipe away a tear, which isn't even a tear. That's it. That's that. And then, oh, here's the other tear I saw. This was really wonderful. You have the police who are all in gear, okay? You know how long it takes to get all that gear together and get to the site? But they're helping someone who is rushing out of Walmart. And right behind them is somebody in a Walmart cart who has a wound. And the wound is on her leg. And she's the person who's taking the picture, one of the only pictures we have, captures the only two people who are wounded at Walmart. And here's what it looks like. One lady is in a cart and they're pulling her out slowly. Nobody's upset. Nobody's upset exiting this Walmart where 46 people were just shot. And we're in a Walmart because it's a warehouse. Your ears would still be ringing for a day. You might actually have damage to your ears if you were standing anywhere near that shooter. Okay? So they're all walking slowly out of the Walmart. You have tons of police everywhere and all their riot gear and everything just ready for action, though they've already been told that the shooter has turned himself in and has no more bullets and there's only one shooter. Oh, okay. So then what do? The lady in the cart points to make sure you notice the little tiny wound on her leg that she says a bullet. She got hit by a bullet. There's a scab over it, folks. There's a scab over it. And no bullet, a 223, spins, especially once it hits anything. Then it goes nuts. It would have ripped her leg off. Okay, you can have one of those bullets pass your leg and leave a bigger wound than she had on her, okay? And then behind her is a beautiful photo opportunity right at the door of Walmart. They walk a woman out who supposedly got her arm bleeding and has blood, the only blood you get to see. And then you have a police officer right in front of the camera stop her and start treating her with black tape. I've never seen anything like it. It looked like black duct tape. So he wraps her arm up, supposedly, where it's bleeding, though you don't see a wound. You can't see any wound. There's no blood at that spot. And somehow, magically, he covers it up before the camera sees it. He covers it up with what seems to be black duct tape. She is not crying. Well, she's kind of upset. That's it. So she got shot in the arm, bleeding all over the place, had to walk out. The police meet her. They don't sit her down. They don't put her on a stretcher. They don't realize she's should be in shock. They don't lay her down. They don't put a cover over. They don't get a stretcher. They don't do a darn thing but put some kind of black tape around the only wound I see in the entire thing. And then she walks out, and then she's okay. So then she just walks on out. You know, no problem whatsoever. Not crying. Nobody's upset. Nothing. If she got shot, then she would have seen many other people shot to death right near her. Now, wouldn't she? Why is she not upset? Why is she not vomiting? Why hasn't she peed her pants? Why has no one walking through that door, including the woman who's on the cart who supposedly got shot? She's not crying. She's not upset. Nobody with her is upset. Nobody's even tending to her. And the woman who was walking out, the only wounded woman we actually really saw, no one was tending her either. So you get shot in the arm, you watch a mass murder, Then you walk out and everything's cool and the police just, you know, put a little duct tape on you and you go on your way? Well, that's what we're told to believe. And it's very easy to see when you realize that perception management is all about they're trying to get across a message. And that message comes from a higher, superior position. And that's what false flags are always about. So what, as Betsy is pointing out, is the message? The message is, white people hate Mexicans and we're going to kill all of them. Therefore, our guns need to be taken from us. And the reason they keep saying they're all dressed in armor, you know, they're all dressed with vests and war gear, is so that they can take that from us too, so we don't have any defense, not even bulletproof vests. We won't have any guns, we won't have any bulletproof vests, and we'll have to trust these people, the very people who participate in these false flags. Now, the last thing I'm going to say is, there was a witness to the shooting in Dayton, and he was the worst actor of all times. Please go see it. African-American man who says that his story is, he just changes it as he goes along so much that it's absurd. He's standing there in line, and then the shooting starts, and then he runs away. But then he witnesses 20 people shot, and then he witnesses the police come and take the man away, though he says he ran away to his car. So what he did is he's standing there giving you the talking points, just like all the other fake witnesses. They tell you what they're told to say. This guy, because he's such a fantastic, pathetic liar, as you listen to his lies, you just have to laugh, and then you can be assured that no one died. There was no blood. No blood. And the man that was shot, the killer, when they shoot the killer, which is why it's surprising in El Paso, they probably want to make sure that because he's so well brainwashed, he's going to say, yeah, I really want to kill those people because then that's domestic terrorism. So therefore, all white people with a long gun are going to be just like that killer, you see. And so that is the United Nations Small Arms Treaty, which was signed by Obama illegally, which with the Strong Cities Initiative, brought in military UN equipment and troops for every single major city to take away guns. All guns. Small arms. Even pistols. Every gun. And that was what Obama was supposed to do. He failed. But then he was a failure in everything except bombing 7 countries, killing 2 million people and creating 60,000 refugees. So what is going on here, folks? This is not our government doing this. Don't be upset by that. These are black ops that are running active shooter drills that keep people in the dark. You show me one person in all of these shootings. There's been one, and that was at the Mandalay shooting, and it was a guy who said he drug all the bodies into the room because he was an emergency guy and blah, 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 and he's witnessed the... No. We got one witness. One. And then we have people like myself who, every time there's a false flag, like I just heard about the one in Dayton. So I go and I look at every single picture because they'll be erased when there's fallacies in the pictures and the videos, they disappear. And to see how many people actually videotaped it from their phone, because if you don't see a lot of that, then it's a fake. And so I go and I look at every one of them. And what am I looking for? One single speck of evidence that it's true that someone got shot. I want to hear a human interest story. I want to see someone in the hospital. I want to see someone on a stretcher being interviewed. I want to see a wound that is consistent with these assault rifle wounds. I want to see someone talk about their biographical relationship to them getting shot. Because here's what usually happens. The only people they interviewed, and this is pretty interesting, they interviewed about 9 people at the Garlic Festival. 3 of them had been at the Mandalay shooting. And 3 others had been in another shooting. And they admit it. These are crisis actors, and they do a terrible job. So I'm sorry I have to go over this again with you, but keep your eyes peeled and do not be depressed by what you see in the news. Assume it's the exact opposite. Then go and look for your own evidence. And as you do, you will sharpen your mind so that you will be able to see when they're simply spinning a narrative, trying to put in your brain a higher order narrative saying, get rid of guns, migrants are good, white people are bad, white supremacists, assault rifles are bad. No, when they're coming from that moral position above, you have to question that. That's the number one thing that perception management uses to get people to believe. Because when you look at the pictures, you don't see the details we're talking about because they've already told you what you're supposed to see. So you need to make sure you're in control of your own perception and go and look at the evidence. And what you're going to find is exactly what we're talking about. Then you will become the expert that can say to any group of people in the room, well, nobody died in El Paso. And they'll all get mad at you. And then you say, show me one speck of evidence. And they won't be able to find it.
Thank you so much, Thomas. And for all of y'all that stayed on till the very end, make sure you subscribe to this blog, because this is where we'll be posting material like this when we can't put it on Big Brother outlets.